Hey, all cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. Happy Mother's Day to all who celebrate and to all the FPL managers. Happy Mother of All Game Weeks. We're in the middle of Game Week 36.
Not bad.
You like what I did there, Josh? I
liked it okay. Yeah.
So, classic in media res, Always Cheating Podcast, where we're checking in on our scores with still so many fixtures left to go. I will try my best to not be happy or sad about my current game week score, because everything could change, I'm hoping, for the better as the rest of these midweek fixtures play out. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm okay. I mean, you know, I've had some good things. You know, I was talking to you about this before the pod a little bit. I'm sort of, I had some good things happen, some bad things. Not captaining Mo Salah way back in game week 26 felt like a mistake in real time, and continues to feel like it felt like a mistake as I was deciding not to do it. Yeah. And it continues to feel that way, you know, 10 game weeks later. And, you know, so I'm triple captain on him. He blanked. He was okay. I thought Ben Davis was incredible in that match. Mm-hmm. Just completely shut him down you know, very, very impressively. And so, you know, so I've got nothing from him, and I kind of feel like maybe I'm kicking myself for not being a little more creative. The thing that I was not planning for is two things. One is that I did think that Liverpool would win. I thought that, I thought that Sessegnon would be a factor in that match, and I didn't think it would be by creating a cross for Son. I thought that he would be kind of exposed. And it's really, I guess, a testament to why Conte really loves that three at the back system, right? Because Sessegnon gets exposed. Well, Ben Davis is right there, you know, just to clean things up on the
and then Sessegnon has the freedom to march up the wing,
right?
Completely unnoticed by anyone, seemingly. Yeah. Rabo tried to shift as quickly as he could, but it was a really well worked move. Starting with Kane, as always.
Did they reveal? Exactly. We'll talk about Kane in a second here. But did Rabo, was that just a like red zone? Like he's played too many minutes when he got pulled? I didn't see anything that came out that he was like injured or like that. So it must have just been, just wearing down a little bit.
It's been a week littered with Klopp and Pep making substitutions around that moment that are somewhat transformative. Like Tsimikas didn't bring what was needed to that match when he came on. Yeah. Could Rabo not continue? If he could I think he should have stayed on the pitch.
Yeah. And I guess Son was basically unmarked on that goal, And so maybe there was a feeling that Rabo should have, that he was just too warm. I don't know. We're in this is too much non fantasy speculation here, but the problem was, so they play that match, and then so I'm like, I'm gonna go Liverpool are into the Champions League final. Yeah. They're gonna be pumped up. Salah's gonna be going up against Sessegnon, who's like the third string, left back for Spurs. Like this is gonna be, it's not that I was expecting like massive returns. That's a double game week, so let's see what happens in the Villa match, right? I don't want to count my chickens before.
What you're basically doing is what most gamblers do: is you build a story
narrative
based on what you know,
exactly,
what you think you can expect.
Yeah,
this is kind of where we are, or where we've been the last month or so. Is we have this narrative around Salah, whether it's definitely not fiction. No one would.
Right.
You're a fool if you say the narrative around Salah is fiction, because there are underlying stats that we can certainly point to, but not really on this podcast. Yeah. He's healthy. He's still good. He's still Mo Salah.
Yeah.
But we've been blind to the fact that there are other assets, namely Son Heung-min, who are getting the points where he's not.
I feel like it's such a balance. Like I feel like getting the form question right, is maybe I've been sort of putting everything into just the quality of the player too much recently. In a history of strong fantasy returns too, right? Because like you talked about Kane a second ago. I mean, people were like, "Hey, should I drop Kane to bring in KDB?" And I was just like, I don't love it. It was like my honest answer last week. I mean, it doesn't sound great now. I mean, granted, KDB only picked up 5 points, but he certainly could have had like 25 today. He had an incredible match for somebody who, you know, you look and you see, or I guess you get six, you get, he ended up getting a bonus point. Is that how it works? I think
he got so he's on six. Okay. He got a yellow card.
Right. So KDB's on six. And, you know, it was just sort of a, like, to me, you know, the same thing with Captain Salah versus Son. I mean, it's just like, well, you know, I like both captain options this week, but one of them is at home against the other. You know, it was like, that was kind of that simple in some ways. And then I didn't think that the Villa match was that, was you know, I mean, then you have the Villa match and the North London Derby in the other match. It's like, it's not like the, that's not like the North London Derby. You know, if Spurs were playing like Watford at home in the second match, then yeah, I would have put the triple captaincy on Son. But anyway, you know, you don't want to play the hindsight game too much, because that's just like a great way to never have fun playing fantasy. Like, you know, you can right. always build a story of the transfer you could have made, the minus four that could have worked out. But I guess the reason I'm talking about this is because I felt like my thinking was Liverpool were going to be dominant. They're going to win that match. And, you know, credit to Spurs who played. I thought it was a really fun match. I really enjoyed watching it, even though it didn't go super great fantasy-wise, although I did get the Sun goal. So anyways, what happens is, you know, Liverpool draw, and Man City, the team that I wasn't quite as excited about because they had just lost this 120-minute match on Wednesday, and I thought their focus might have dipped a little bit, suddenly gets the great gift of Liverpool dropping 2 points, right? Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's like, go out there and just smash four teams and you are in, you know, you win the league. And it's like, boom, like the greatest gift they could have got, right, was Liverpool dropping 2 points. Yeah. It just makes it very simple for them now. Score a bunch of goals, you know, beat a team like Newcastle 5-0, and you're going to get them on goal difference even if you drop a match, right? And so it just, you know, totally changes the narrative. And suddenly it's like, man, like I am totally undercover on Man City assets. And so I went to the match only with Cancelo, and you know, thankfully, as you said, it was Mother's Day. I was out with the family, so I did not watch the 5-0 thrashing today.
Yeah, the points were, as per usual, with City spread around a bit. I mean, I was kind of thinking Mahrez was going to play a huge role in this game week. Certainly hasn't come to pass after one match. Foden comes on and helps a lot of managers there, but Emerick Laporte, I think, is the story coming out of that fixture with the sort of the maximum points. I took the coward's way into the Manchester City discussion, as I want to do, and my one free transfer this week was Nick Pope out for Ederson. And I the most shocking thing I think that happened this game week was that in a 5-0 drubbing of Newcastle, Ederson has a save point. Meaning he made three saves. Which is
all this
Miles
talking, you didn't end up bringing him in. I didn't actually look at your team. I thought you had him, and I was like, oh, I don't even want to. Brendan's going to be so annoyed in this podcast when he's got Mahrez this week. So
no, I liked the move on a free hit, or if you had a way to bring him in. I didn't have a way to bring him in with a minus four, and that was not any sort of magic that I was willing to wield going into this game week. And I think, for like the case for somebody captaining somebody like Mahrez or Jesus or Foden is you can get a 5-0 victory for City so easily. Who's it going to be? It happened. It was Raheem Sterling this week. And of course, this is like the most 2021-22 FPL season thing of all time, where it was it last week where a lot of people free hit to bring in Raheem Sterling? It was recently Raheem Sterling seemed like he was going to be the magic man.
Yeah.
And of course it's classic. Always a week later, right?
Totally. Exactly. And in Ketia was like that, right? It was sort of last week was the week when he was going to really roll, you know? Yep.
So lots of matches yet to come, but that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about the final double game week. I love how dramatic this is, Josh. Game week 37, just around the corner.
I've been trying to lay it on a little thick with the drama, just for my own amusement. But yeah, it's the final one. We've had double game weeks seemingly every week since December. I don't even know what we've learned. Like, we can talk about this after the season's over. Like, what did we learn? Like, double game weeks every week, and I'm not even sure I know the answer. Like, it's
did
it change anything?
I don't know either. We can talk a little bit more about this with maybe a little bit more clarity after game week 38. What did we learn from the season as a totality? But I just feel like this season has been so punishing, even to managers who are doing really well. Each week seems to be either overly or slightly punishing on some degree. There have been maybe two or three weeks in the, during the whole season where any of us felt like we got out of it scot-free. We got out of it having played it perfectly. And I think all these doubles have added, have sort of, I don't know enough of math or probability to understand if they, if the nature of the double game weeks just up the variance in each game week, but it just feels like it's just become so much harder to sort of settle into. And maybe it's, maybe I'm a dinosaur, Josh, that are like what we were talking about, your captaincy decision, like trying to settle into a narrative or a groove for your team. And this season has really pushed back against any sort of consistent narrative.
I think you could argue that it's actually reduced the variance in some ways. I think that it, in some ways, I feel like I have been, and I really, I'm not complaining about this because it's a great place to be. You know, even though I have complained about it before, so forgive me for that. But you know, I feel like I have been very, I have just been between 20K and 30K since like November, basically. Like, you know, just like without fail, I have sort of settled in into that range. And I think that, you know, from like January on, I think because there are so many double game weeks, in some ways it really, it's like you, in theory that opens up the, a lot of possibilities, but when there aren't that many, it actually forces you into a lot of particular moves. Right. And you end up a lot of, you end up doing stuff like a lot of us focus on, you know, Newcastle players for a while or less. And it's like you make a lot of transfers that are meant to maximize the double games, but everyone's kind of making those moves as well, you know? Yeah. And so it's like you don't have a lot of these kind of standalone weeks where it's like, I was thinking about this this weekend where you had West Ham at home to Norwich, right? There's like a match that, like, of course they were going to win that one big, right? Like it was sort of, this was their kind of comeback, right? They had this tough, Europa League match, and like it's just like, you know, they're playing a relegated Norwich, and that's the kind, it's the kind of match where you're like, yeah, this is like they're gonna, it's a little bit like Man City this weekend, right? Like it's like, you know, I mean, they could go one way or the other, I suppose. They could just like give up or they could bounce back. But I think, you know, because it was a home match and you know, they had they just seem like the kind of team, like I feel like they want to close on a high note. And I'm actually really excited about the Man City West Ham match next weekend. I think that that could really could end up being fun. I think West Ham could maybe give them a match. So but anyway, you know, but so that was a team that like just, but nobody brought them in, right? Because it's game week 36 and you have double game weeks across the board. And so it kind of, I actually think it closed off some possibilities. And I think you've actually had a similar problem to me, which is that don't you feel like you've moved just like 20K up and down for a while now? Like kind of pretty stable.
Yes, 100%. I haven't been able to budge. And I feel like I'm actually grateful that I haven't fallen farther, because it does feel like, you know, all the swings I've taken just haven't connected. Nothing's come off, but I do always have these fail safes, be it a Cancelo or a Trent, that sort of keep me afloat. So yeah, that I guess maybe that is the learning of the season, is the only way that you're jumping up is you're really taking those risks at precisely the right moments, and having them come off for you.
Totally. And I ran into this weekend a little bit. You know, it's so easy to say this on the podcast, right? But then when it comes to making your transfers, it actually is tough. I mean, you went into the, same with you, right? I mean, you and I both ended up making kind of boring moves, right? You brought in Ederson and I finally brought in Saka, right? I've been meaning to do it for 20 weeks. finally happened. And it was like, it's hard not to make the sound move. You know, it's like a lot of the time, the really crazy move only looks great when the game week is over and you are like, you have like a fleeting thought. You know, I think there was a moment when I thought I might have made that. You know, it's like you sort of like build a, again, you like build a narrative for yourself, you know.
I've been trying to get the Odegaard thing to happen. And I think that that was propelled by Arsenal double game weeks as they were coming. And of course, Jared Bowen. A guy who is just consistently awesome. He falls off the FPL map due to his injury. And then when he comes back, there are no West Ham doubles to speak of, at least that he's going to be involved in. Suddenly you get to this point where Bowen's back doing incredible fantasy things. And here I am with Martin Odegaard, you know, applauding his flawless play, but zero fantasy points. And, I feel like that just has to be considered. Maybe if as we look at game week 37, but certainly as we prep for next season, is how are we going to prevent ourselves from being blinded to? And this is not an argument like the age old argument of don't let double game weekers blind you to single game weekers. I think what we're talking about here is, maybe even a little more basic than that.
And I think there's actually a connection. This is not just a total big picture conversation, because it connects directly to game week 37, right? Where you have five teams that double and none of them are good, really. Yeah, you know, right. I mean, Villa, Burnley, Palace, Everton, Leicester, like who's the best team in there? I mean, Leicester in theory, but they have you can't say that now, right? And I suppose it's Villa, but I mean, even they're sort of.
I think Palace is probably the most cohesive team.
Yeah, exactly. So you have these kind of, at the very least, we're talking about mid-table, right? We're not talking about, top even six or seven teams, really, And so I think that, and then you have teams like Spurs that play Burnley at home without any center backs. Why are we looking at Zaha when you could just have someone like Kulusevski possibly, it's just a tricky, it's a tricky thing. So let's get into that. Quick shout out before we do. Thank you. We had three new patrons this week, and it's always great, especially very late in the season when new people join on and pledge to support the podcast. So thank you to Moby Dickey, Brandon. Great name.
All right. Yeah. Captain Ahab. That's what I say.
Yeah. He sent in his birth certificate too. So that is the proper name. Okay. Yeah, so we asked that of all of our patrons to send in their birth certificate.
It's a high barrier to entry here.
Barry Parkin and Patrick Russell. Thank you to all three of you. And you get an extra podcast each week. We will not charge patrons when the season is not going, obviously. You get access to the Slack chat. That Slack chat does run all season long. You get the Weekend Review newsletter, and at the highest tiers, you get the Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt. So you can support the podcast at any point, but again, we won't be charging our patrons during the off season. We'll resume it when we start doing Patreon exclusive content, which would be presumably in July. That's when that will roll out again. So that's where we are. And you patreon.com/alwayschains where you can go. I won't do an elaborate Patreon plug here, Brandon, because we are
a week and a half
away from the end of the season. I've already done enough. So let's take a break and we'll get back and we'll talk about game week 37.
Hey listeners, Brandon here. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. During the last 2 years, my work schedule, my life schedule, my diet, basically everything has been thrown into chaos. I'm sure some of you can relate. A few weeks ago, Athletic Greens sent me this amazing starter pack, and I've been using their product AG1 each morning, and I love it. I started taking AG1 in the mornings because I don't really have a real breakfast routine, and now I have a quick and easy habit that I'm building to start my mornings. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, and it really does taste good. It has this sort of tropical flavor. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. And I started commuting to the office again, so I've actually been putting my AG1 scoop with about 12 ounces of water into this bottle that comes with their kit, and it's easy to grab, shake, and run out the front door, and I'm on my way to have a great day. A subscription to AG1 costs less than $3 a day, way cheaper than my cold brew habit. And for every purchase, this is great. Athletic Greens donates to organizations helping to get nutritious foods to kids in need, including No Kid Hungry here in the U.S., Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/cheating. This is a deal special for Always Cheating listeners. Again, that site is athleticgreens.com/cheating to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional endurance.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 37 kicks off this weekend. I have a couple opening notes here about game week 37, Brandon. A couple of words to the heads.
You're
going to
give a little speech, and then we can take some audience questions.
Well, I think the biggest one is that in game week 37, there's a lot of weird scheduling this season, Brandon. In game week 37, Sunday is the new Saturday. There are no matches on Saturday this upcoming game week. So. If your long suffering spouse has been trying to get you go to brunch, you know, in the United States and all the math, you know, it's hard to brunch when you're, if you're a Premier League content creator in the United States.
Here's an idea though, Josh, just lie to your spouse and say there are games and you're going to have to go out and meet up with your pals.
We got an FA Cup final, you know, that could be fun. Yeah. The FA Cup final is on Saturday. So at least we'll get a chance to watch that Liverpool Chelsea match and see what we can see.
How that locker room seems to be imploding at the moment. Did you see the story about Marcus Alonso had a bust up with Tuchel at halftime? And it seems like he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not. Sometimes this stuff, you know, they say it and then it's fine. But it's, you know, from my perspective, it feels like I'm probably going to move a Chelsea player with my transfer this week. I mean, that, you know, and maybe I take a hit, but I don't love it. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've, you know, had a look at your game week 37 team yet. You know, if you set the old bus team, Brandon.
Sure, the bus team is set, and I've got Reece James right there in the center of my defense, unappealing as he may appear.
Yep. Yeah, I've got Alonso and James still. Trent, Cancelo, you know, Saka, Kulusevski, Salah, Son, Coutinho. I mean, Weghorst and Ketia up front. I mean, when I look at my team, like the players that I want to move are the ones that are double game weeks. Like, I'm not excited about moving Saka. I'm not excited about, I don't think I would move Saka or Kulusevski. Certainly wouldn't move Son. Don't think I'm going to be moving Salah unless he gets injured. You're kind of like, okay, like I want to have some players for this double, but I don't see like a ton of hugely appealing options. You know, maybe like who am I benching? Like, would you bench Saka at Newcastle or Kulusevski at home to Burnley? Like,
I surely, I mean, I'm playing a 3-5-2 because I don't see any mids that I want to bench. So you have to play five across the middle and bench.
That's what I've got. That's what I've got. And that's what I mean. So if I was to bring in like a Richarlison, say, right, then suddenly I like what I could do in theory would be like a -4. I drop Alonso for somebody, you know, I think like Nate Klein is, I think, like 4.4, you know, like some cheapy defender. And then I use that money to turn Broya into Richarlison. Like that is a move I've gamed out a little bit already.
Okay.
So I do that. And then, so I'm taking a hit to drop Saka away to Newcastle. Like, okay. Uh-huh. You know, like I'm not going to drop Kulusevski at home to Burnley without Burnley having center backs.
You're dancing around the issue here that we both have is we both have Philippe Coutinho, and Coutinho misses. He has to come off the bench against Burnley.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's the age old rest rotation debate. Does this mean that Coutinho is nailed on for two glorious home fixtures against Palace and Burnley? Is that appealing? But no, I'm kind of with you. Coutinho looks like my weakest link next to Reece James. When I look at my team, I'm Gordon. I mean, and Anthony Gordon is just like only fantasy could make you love this guy. I mean, I actually really enjoy like watching him and the Everton squad. And he's clearly like an important bolt of energy when they're out there on the pitch. But, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot for your fantasy team, but he's so cheap and wonderfully so, which has made me like lift him up so much more in my estimation. So point being, there's no way I'm dropping Anthony Gordon. You know, I've got Salah, Saka, Odegaard, Coutinho. I'm definitely committed to just like I'm going the distance with Odegaard and I don't care. I don't even want to talk about it.
It's like the craziest thing. I mean, but I'm that'll be fun. Like, you know, this is kind of like me. Who was that player that I brought in years ago that you still make fun of me for? The Crystal Palace player that I brought in.
Johan Kabai.
Yeah, he's your Kabai. Okay. Like years from now, I'd be like, you remember that time when you had Odegaard for like 12 weeks at the end of that season?
he's a good
player, obviously. But
that's fine. We don't have to talk about it. Ollie Watkins, though, is very much like sour grapes with this guy. Like he comes in and he gets me two goals in two game weeks. And it's like the goal. Looking at my fantasy team, I was like, did those goals even happen? Did those goals even help me?
Yeah.
Watkins, scorer of the invisible FPL goal.
It's like they're the same with Nketiah, you know, like that. I just like kept pace with Nketiah. Like I needed that. Like I needed two goals from Nketiah today and three bonus points just to like hold my rank. That was how valuable those Man City points. Not having Laporte, that was a killer. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you. Yeah. But yeah. That's like, talk about like a hindsight move. if I had just moved Reece James to Laporte, I'm looking great this week.
Yeah. And I think that's something we should talk about when we look ahead to game week 37 is the viability of Reece James. I mean, it looks like Ruben Diaz coming off with a knock or tactical.
Pep confirmed out for the season.
Okay. That's horrible news for Diaz.
Yeah.
But I feel like they do have solid enough backups. Interesting to see Fernandinho coming in for him and not Nathan Ake. I guess that's something to do with right-footed, left-footed, and so on. But, City defense seems great. And I think that is definitely the move for the faint of heart who don't want to roll the dice on a City attacker.
Yeah, I mean, Foden coming out and get that 90th minute goal, man. That was like it does feel like, you and I were both somewhat justified not bringing in any City mids, right? Or even Gabriel Jesus for that matter, who got another start, you know? I don't think didn't even pick up a stray assist, did he? I don't think he got anything out of that match. Gabby.
Old Gabby, he got nothing out of that game.
63. Yeah. So Yeah. So it's just like, I hate playing that game with Man City. It's too stressful. Yeah. So I think, yeah, you could double or even triple up on their defense down the stretch. I guess you're doubled up now. I mean, you could bring in another one. I mean, it's not a bad, they play away to West Ham, and West Ham can score. I mean, this is probably the one match where I they have three left. I mean, one of them is something we can do about because it's the second match in 36. But I think they could concede away in 37, and then I think in 38, home to Villa. That's an easy win.
Okay, that's you being thoughtful. But I'm wondering if I can flip a switch here, Josh, where I just reject what you would expect to happen. Where I'm like, okay, City are away and have a tougher fixture than Chelsea, who host Leicester at home. Leicester, who are just kind of ran out of gas for the season.
Yeah.
But also, why Reece James? Why do I have him at all? and do I don't want to do just another week of, well, it's Chelsea, and what? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I think I have to commit to getting rid of Reece James right now at this moment on this podcast.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess I just feel like maybe it was specific to your situation because you're already doubled up but I think Laporte maybe is less appealing than 37 just because of the particular fixture. And you could go with someone like Matty James Matty Cash, excuse me.
Not Reece James's brother, Matty James.
Matty Cash. Yeah, talk about Reece James. I guess that's what got in my head. But
I'm with
Matty
you. Now,
James,
now,
right? I don't know.
Yeah. We're in real fantasy strategy land where we're actually picking interesting players. I like it. So Reece James to somebody like Matty Cash or Lucas Dean, who is risen like Lazarus from the dead and is getting attacking returns now for Villa. So suddenly Dean becomes an interesting pick for people looking for underowned guys going into 37.
I'm still going Cash over Dean. I can't handle the stress. I can't stand it. I can't stand him and I can't stand it. Uh-huh. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, something's going to go wrong, right? If you bring in Dean, something's going to go wrong. I do think, and we can get into some questions here. I feel like we're very freeform. I had an actual running order here, Brandon.
Let's get back to it. Some structure back here.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to pull a question up because it fits our conversation right now. But Robert Bale says, considering teams like Villa and Everton don't have great fixtures in 38, how many double game week players should non-free-hitters get for 37? So, specifically when it comes to Villa, I think... Yeah. Everton are in a slightly different situation. Everton have everything to play for, right? Yeah. They've won two in a row. I mean, it could be that they're just fine. Like, they could win that Brentford match.
They may have gotten all the points they need. We'll see.
Yeah. But I think that, I think the situation with Villa is a little bit trickier. I think that... are you taking a screenshot of me right now?
I'm sorry. I was pulling up the league table on my phone and didn't realize I was holding it in front of my laptop camera. Okay. Yeah. You look great though, Josh.
I was like, well, like I don't know if I've set my face correctly here. So I think that but Villa, I mean, they have, two good fixtures, but you do have to think about 38 because they play away to Man City. So you got to look at your team. So in my case, it actually is a little trickier to bring in a Villa defender because, if James, I mean, who knows if he'll start in 38, if Alonso is actually on the outs and won't play again this season, then that's a disaster. And I have Kilman who's out for the rest of the season. So I'd be down to two defenders in game week 38. So, I mean, effectively two defenders because any, if I brought in Cash, that's like getting 0 points. I mean, Man City are going to score like nine goals in that final match.
For me. I think that going back to Anthony Gordon, this makes him just such a hugely appealing player for 37 because he is very benchable in game week 38 at that price point of 4.7. And I think I would predict he'd start both of those games in 37. And then I'm looking to jettison both of my Villa players, Coutinho and Watkins. I think Kulishevsky and maybe Ivan Toney coming in for Coutinho and Watkins for game week 38. I mean, the price points for Villa players are only fun and good when you're getting rid of them because they're just a little too expensive for kind of I think we expected Villa to have a better season than they've had, though it's been fine. But they're expensive enough to where you can get in pretty good players to replace them.
Yeah.
That's another thing to consider. Like, just maybe commit to taking a -4 in game week 38 if you have to. This is not really the worst thing that could happen to you as a -4.
Yeah, it's I don't even know where I feel. My like feeling on hits is really all over the place at this. This is hits and double game weeks. So those are the two things, Brennan. We need to do some post season. I feel like in the middle of the season, my blood runs too hot to think about this stuff, like objectively. But I feel like I want to look back at my season and think about the hits and think about the way that I play double game weeks and see if there's some alternate strategies I want to think about going into next year. But I think that, first of all, I think that Ivan Toney is the Toney bandwagon is going to be massive in game week 38. I can feel it already. Man. And it'll be a real FPL thing because we're all going to get on the Toney bandwagon and then the whole season's going to come full circle and he's going to blank in 38, just like he did in game week one when we were all on him again. It's just like that's how it has to be.
And a relatively anonymous fantasy, at least, performance for Toney against a really poor Southampton on Saturday morning.
I take those 5 points from him over almost everybody on my team this game week. So
we
have 5 teams to play twice, to get back to my original opening notes here. 5 teams to play twice. Villa play Crystal Palace and Burnley. Burnley play away to Spurs and Villa. Palace. And by the way, Tarkowski went off for Burnley. So now it's you have me and Tarkowski both absent for Burnley, which is obviously not ideal. Palace play away to Villa and Everton. Everton play home to Brentford and Crystal Palace. Probably the pick of the fixtures. And then Leicester play away to Watford and away to Chelsea. You have one team that doesn't play at all, Brandon, but they effectively stopped playing in game week 36. So that doesn't matter too much. Manchester Terrific. United, though, do not play in game week 37. They have no fixture. So kind of funky when you have one team that doesn't have a fixture. I feel like that's a rare thing.
Yeah, it is a rarity. So, remember this. Remember.
What a moment.
So it looks like just looking at this fixture ticker, like Manchester United have a black armband on their sleeve.
It's like they're playing, in tribute to Juan Mata's last game for them or something.
The post-match interview with Bruno Fernandes after the Brighton match where Bruno, the commentator's like, do you think you played well enough? And Bruno's like, I did not think I played well enough to wear the Manchester United shirt. And he said it in such a way that it was so matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how a lot of FPL managers might feel, like if my team gets shut down, if I lose access to my fantasy team right now, I don't really care.
Yeah, if it happens, it happens. So I think we should get into some actual, we've done a lot of big picture so far. A lot of managers are free hit in 37. And so, are thinking about a free hit. So I sort of have two free hit questions for you, right? Mm-hmm. So the first question, let's take the first question first, just to keep on the big picture theme here. If you have a free hit, should you play it in game week 37 or game week 38? FPL wannabe said, if you have a free hit left, would you be tempted by the bad teams doubling in 37 or the game week? And, that's bad teams is his word, brand, not mine. So no angry messages. Or the game week 38 punt on high scoring crazy games. Here's my thing about 38. Game week 38 is a great week for fantasy. I mean, first of all the matches happen at once. It's total shock to the system, especially if you live in a place like the U.S. where you can watch every game. It's just as you and I have done for like a decade now. We always get together and watch these, and it's just like I can't even we end up doing these meetups, and I am like I seem so antisocial because I really can't chat when these games, this much is happening. So it's, we're planning to do that again, by the way, in Brooklyn. So I think that the problem with 38 is, there are, advantages to be had. If lineups leak, then you can really take advantage of that. Although last year it was, we kind of got like a little bit of everything, right? We got fake lineups and real lineups.
Bamford was a big thing last game week 38. Yeah, I remember
Bamford. Yeah. And you had, remember the Man City lineup was pretty crazy too. There's just a lot of, you know, just a lot of, it's just very, very, it was Aguero's last game and a lot of unpredictability. So I think that, I think that game week 38 is a really fun week to, it's a little bit like bringing in Riyad Mahrez. It's the bringing in Riyad Mahrez of moves, Brandon. You know, with uh-huh. you know, with Riyad Mahrez, there are three true outcomes, right? It's uh-huh. 0 points, 1 points, or 18 points. Like yeah. those are the three, right? So you have a basically yeah. like a 1 in 3 chance of having an amazing return if you bring in Riyad Mahrez, and you have to accept that the other two could go crazy. So if you free hit in 38, it could be incredible. Like there is absolutely a free hit team that you could come up with and mm-hmm. in game week 38 that like is like a 133 point team, right? That mm-hmm. is totally like a dream team for the week. Mm-hmm. Cause there are going to be a lot of goals. It's going to be loose, but you do have to be, you have to accept that it's a gamble. Whereas in game week 37, you can build a more solid team, right? You can just sort of double like appearance points your way into a pretty good return, right?
Yeah.
And you're almost certainly going to end up on a green arrow. But in some ways, it's, you know, when you look and now we can go back to the teams here a little bit. So maybe actually we should answer that question once we talk a little bit about who you'd want to bring in for 37, right? I think that's an important part.
For me, just right out of the gate, free hit 37 should not be thought about loading up on doubles. Like
right,
it's
right.
still just, it's okay to think about game week 37 just as its own game week. And you don't have, if you're not tripled up on Spurs, play a free hit and you have a way to immediately triple up on Spurs. You've got Kulu, Kane and Son. Great.
Yep.
Am I tripled up on Liverpool away Southampton? No, great. Now I'm tripled up on, and then maybe I go and I dip into Aston Villa and Crystal Palace. Because for me, as we kind of established, I think Palace is probably the best team who doubles in this week. Though Villa have, I think, the most appealing fixtures, and they're both yeah. at home.
It's crazy that you said that, and I really didn't like push back at all because I'm kind of with you, like. They're just good now, right? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. They're just like, yeah, I mean, they play Man United at home in 38 too. Yeah. Like, actually, that's an important thing because we talked about the double on Villa and then playing Man City. That does, I think, make Palace a little more appealing if you're not on a free hit, right? Yeah. Is that you do get that Man United fixture, which, yeah. it, you know, in game week one, that might have seemed like a hard fixture. But in game week 38, like, where they have like, they basically have like quit on their coach, right? Like he's mm-hmm. a total lame duck, as they should have predicted would happen. Like when you announced the, like with 5 weeks left that the manager is just out, like, of course they're not going to care anymore. Like why yeah. would they? So yeah, I think that it's kind of a, anyway, so I think that's a really good fixture now for Palace. And I think that I could absolutely see Zaha doing something.
Zaha's the guy. This is our opportunity to all get good Zaha. Like yeah. form Zaha.
Yeah. Doesn't the like the 2 years he was on Man United feel like 20? Like it feels like such yeah. a long time ago now. It was 2013 yeah. to 2015 he was there. And he only got 2 total appearances for them during that time.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
It's almost like, could we say it's a little bit like hyper-capitalism? Like Wilfred Zaha is a small business and he tried to grow. He tried to franchise and it just didn't work.
Right.
And then he realized, you yeah. know what? It's okay to be my local indie record store. And
yeah.
I just develop a great relationship with my customers who come in to pick up yeah. a new vinyl every Friday.
It's like the Ample Hills ice cream, Brandon, yeah, you know? Right, yeah. yeah. Establish yourself under a new name, you know? And, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think that there are some double game week players that are appealing. Will Zaha being one of them. He's been in the best form. You know, it's so funny because he got an 11 point return yesterday, and that's about is like he has been returning, but in kind of like in a very Raul Jimenez kind of way, you know, where it's like he's not exactly like getting any 18 pointers, you know. It's like, I think
like back, Andy Dufresne dropping his gravel in the prison yard in Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit at a time.
Yeah, 13 goals, but yeah, exactly. Like you look back, going back to like game week 28, right? 8-3-8-5-2-3-6-11. Uh-huh. Fantastic. Those are excellent returns. you know, you look at, I mean, over the course of a season, it's 13 goals, one assist. He's available for less than $7 million. Not a lot to argue with here, but I think that on a double, like, he's not necessarily a player you want to be burning like eight to bring in, right? You know, you're not going to recoup that that hit, I don't think. Like, I mean, you might even out, but it's going to be hard to like get like a massive profit on that. So, but he is cheap enough that I think he's worth considering. I mean, just moving Zaha straight up, moving Saka straight up to Zaha is a move I would at least consider for game week 38. Or for 37, excuse me.
Yeah, I think that there are so many great mid-price midfield options for the next 2 weeks. It's almost a shame. I kind of want to have them all. Coutinho is not going to be there for game week 38, so it's kind of like who's gonna be the one. But yeah, like Zaha, Bowen. You know, do we want to give Bowen any chance against Manchester City? I mean, that's probably just a bridge too far for my sort of like new world order fantasy thinking.
Yeah, I think so. Here's another question when you think about transfers, especially if you're thinking about taking a hit. Who do you want to captain this week? Like who is the best captain? I mean, you look at like some of these like rate my team squads and it's, you know, there's some players up there that I just have no, I like Coutinho is topping some of these lists and I would rather transfer him out than catching him in 37. Yeah. I really don't have a lot of faith in him, like having a massive return.
Yeah. I don't want to be like, you know, well, we've said what we've said. I don't want to be too negative about Coutinho. I'll have him and
of course
I'll think positive, but to me, it's Spurs. You mentioned how Burnley, both of their first choice center backs are now out. And Burnley might be a little ragged emotionally playing at the new White Hart Lane. Spurs looking to get a result. Who knows what their needs are going to be after that North London derby.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? Yeah. Just to finish something here. How many appearances do you think that Wilza has made for Crystal Palace in his career?
I don't know. I would say 115.
387. Can you believe that?
Damn.
How is that possible? That's incredible. Yeah, that is a lot. That's 110 from 2010 and 2013. Two loan spells where he got 16 of both of them. And then since he rejoined the squad in 2015, he has 245 appearances.
Well, good on him. I hope he's got many ballpoint pens with his name and that eagle on
that's
there.
Right. Well, that's like a, you know, congrats to him, right? It's a legendary Palace player. Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem. I was going to say Harry Kane. Harry Kane is my bus team captain. I think Spurs going against Burnley is good, and they can score goals when it's going their way, and I think that game will probably go their way. So, you know, I think it's Son if you have him and Kane if you have him.
Me too. It's kind of annoying because, you know, as I mentioned before, the matches start on Sunday. They continue through the following Thursday. Yeah. Liverpool don't even play until Tuesday. And of course, it is 7 a.m. It's the early match is when Spurs play, which is just kind of, I just went through this a couple of weeks ago. And I do, even though I know that I just don't have that kind of rational math based brain where I can just not like where I can just captain the player in the first match and just be kind of fine with it. Like it does give me a little bit of pause, even though I know that's kind of dumb. So
do they, where do you stand here, Josh? Just get rid of the captaincy chip altogether?
I'd be fine with that. I want to get rid of all chips. You know, I want pure fantasy, Brandon.
Yeah.
No chips, no captains, just like. Yeah.
Like they all put us on a boat and send us to an island and we have to play real football against each other.
But how about this? I want that, but I want to get away with all that, but I also want two transfers a week. I want two frees a week.
Okay, so you can't have that. I'm
so then
sorry.
You could have a little more variety, but you wouldn't have all the chaos.
I like that. I think that's good. Two frees each week, no chips, not even captaincy. Good. We solved it.
All this talk about ways to fix FPL, it's that simple. That would really, it's like the thicker lines for VAR, which has changed so much so quickly.
Any other captaincy options besides Spurs?
Yeah, so I think there are some double game week captaincy options, especially for people who are looking to take some risks, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you want to, you know, just go for it.
You want to be a bad boy.
Yeah, Okay. I mean, I didn't even have this guy on my list, but I mean, Danny Ings probably has to be up there, right? He's, you know, Danny Ings in form is a tremendous fantasy asset, obviously injury prone, obviously been out of the squad right now, but it looks like he's just scoring too many goals for him not to be in that lineup. I suppose you could quibble with whether he's going to start twice. I guess that would be the one concern, but let's, you know, if he's rested in the second leg of 36, then that would be kind of ideal for him going into 37. So, you know, I think Ings, Watkins, I think those are both decent options. I do think that Richarlison is a good option. You know, a good captaincy option. Brentford and Palace at home. It's hard to imagine him not getting a goal in those two matches, right? So you throw one goal in there, throw in, you know, maybe one assist. Then you're looking at somewhere in that like the 10 to 15 point range, possibly, right? I mean, that just doesn't seem crazy to me that he could get something like that. Throw in a couple horrifying face injuries and chin injuries.
You never know.
Random yellow card.
You never know with that guy. It's true. No, I love it. I definitely, if you have Richarlison, God, it's just another one of those. How can I fit Richarlison? How can I turn Broja into Richarlison? I don't think I can do it.
It's not easy for me. I can kind of get there on a -4. It would really take a -8 to get there in a way that makes
but
sense.
But then
you're like, am I -8 for Richarlison?
Yeah, and then to, as you were saying at the start of the pod, Josh, then to bench one of your very gifted midfielders.
Yeah. And I think that one thing to think about, too, is that Everton, because of this relegation battle, Game Week 38 could be a match where they just need a point. Like, that could end up being a nil-nil, because they just it has to be a nil-nil. Can you believe that Arsenal conceded, by the way, on that game? It was like written in the stars. Like, they simply had to concede in that match or something. All right, so I think that, you know, I mean, other players that I would consider just more broadly, because we were talking about that before we started talking about captains, I guess you and I have, like, the late season randos right now, I feel like. I like this, though. We don't do this very often. It's kind of fun to hop around, talk about some different things. But I think Zaha, Richarlison, I do think, I mean, I hear what you're saying about Ollie Watkins being slightly unexciting for whatever reason, but I mean, I think he's clearly a strong option for 37. We talked about Cash already. Mike Alenko for Everton scored a goal today. And again, probably he went off with cramp, apparently. It was not an injury. So he should be, that was FPL Prince I saw on Twitter confirm that. So he should be good to go for the doubles, and he'd be my defender pick, certainly. But I think, you know, honestly, I'd focus as much on the single game weekers. You mentioned Spurs. If I was on a free hit, I would absolutely have three Spurs in my starting lineup. I would have... I mean, you could pick the third one. Certainly, I would have Son and Kane. I would have both of them. I know that
Kulusevski would have to be the third, would it not?
I think so, too. I mean, I guess I was just thinking you could consider, you know, like, depending on, we talked about all these midfielders, like, you know, if you want Zaha and it means you can't have Kulusevski, then you could throw like Hugo Lloris in goal or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get that third Spurs player. Because I just don't really see Burnley doing a lot.
Speaking of goal, though, I think it has to be mentioned that Jordan Pickford has been on fire the last couple of weeks, just pulling out ridiculous saves. Yeah. And if he can get a clean sheet, I think if it's a low scoring game where Everton clean, then I think Pickford is nailed for three bonus. I think he could be a big defensive pick. So free hit Pickford, I think, is definitely the goalkeeper you're targeting.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, he got 6 points today, conceding a goal, which is you know, for anytime you get two bonus in a three goal,
you're working.
Or, you know,
you're putting in the work.
So very, very impressive. Seven saves for him, and some really good ones. I had a nice save on Harvey Barnes, which I was like, thank God. You know, anytime you transfer a player out, you know, how you like immediately like never want them to do anything good again the rest of their career. That's where I was with Barnes today. So I think that, yeah, I mean, in some ways, on a free hit, a lot of these spots kind of pick themselves, I think. And, you know, I mean, because, like, what are you going to not have Man City players? Are you going to not, like, you know, I think that on a free hit, is there any, can you imagine building a free hit 37 team that didn't have Mo Salah? Is that something you would consider? They play,
Southampton away.
Oh God, I mean, they're Southampton are diabolical. I think you have to have Mosala. Maybe you should just be tripled up on Liverpool, honestly, too. I mean, definitely.
So,
Southampton are in some serious trouble. I think there was some combination of factors that could have actually gotten Southampton relegated, but I think one of them involved Burnley winning today, and so now that is over, I don't think it could happen any longer.
Yeah, we're witnessing the Stoke Cityification of Southampton right now. It's gone incredibly it's stale there.
We've seen that story before, right? It's like I used to love Swansea. Swansea had a great run in the Premier League, and then you could just sort of tell it was like, you know, that the Bob Brayley experiment, you know, was really although Jesse Marsh, I think he has actually done a pretty good job, and if Leeds go down, I do not think that he should get any flack for that. I don't know what he could be doing right now that was different, you know. I mean, he didn't tell Luke Ayling to go two-footed like out of bounds.
What an insane tackle.
Crazy. Crazy.
The only thing that would have made that tackle better is if Ayling would have like pulled his hairband off as his two feet left the ground, so he went like full like headbanger mode as the 2 feet landed. Incredible stuff. Yeah, I'd be curious to see if Jesse Marsh stays with the club going to the championship. I think that'd be a really exciting division for him to manage in.
Yeah.
If Leeds would have him.
They had some moments. I thought they played okay after Rafinha went off. I mean, he's certainly going to leave this summer. So I think that there's, you know, maybe.
Yeah, if they lose him and Calvin Phillips would definitely, I think, leave if they got relegated.
All right. So we're kind of in a weird spot right now with 37. I mean, just, you know, a couple last things here, Brandon. It's, you know, it's a weird week in some ways. It's a week where I don't want to make any really strong proclamations because there are so many doubles to go. You know, it's always hard to record a podcast when you have this many matches left to be played because it really throws things up in the air. But, you know, I said I didn't want to wait until Thursday evening to record this week's pod. So, you know, what are you going to do? But I mean, so we talked about Villa a little bit. A couple of teams we haven't talked about at all. One is Burnley. I mean, I have two Burnley players. Jesus. I've got Weghorst still, and I guess I just keep them. I don't know. And then I've got Pope, who it's like the Ben Foster thing, right? It's like I started Ben Foster this week. I got 4 points in the first match. Like, great, you know. Like, sure. they're not gonna keep a clean sheet, but you know, you can get some saves.
It's about as good as you could have hoped for.
Yeah, so we're not going to target anybody. I wouldn't recommend bringing anybody from Burnley on a free hit or with a transfer, obviously. And then Leicester, I think, is kind of in the same boat, even though they have a Watford match in there. I wouldn't recommend anybody from Leicester, would you? I mean, is there a single player on Leicester that you'd – I mean, even Vardy, it's like he used to be the one kind of mainstay, but he's in and out, and, you know, so it's tricky. No,
I really can't understand what's going on there this season. Like,
no,
the fact that Rodgers just hasn't all respect to him, he just hasn't had a cohesive plan, which it seems strange because he does. It's not like exactly the same as what's going on at Everton, and that you've got a bunch of pretty talented players to pick from. You've suffered some injuries, but there just hasn't been any organization of any kind. So yes, it's left me in a place, Josh, where I don't like Leicester assets. I genuinely don't know how to predict what's going to happen in any match in which Leicester play. The odds seem to favor that they'll lose by a goal or two and not score a lot of goals in the process is the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose Rodgers will. This is just one of those years where they just, I think they should keep him. I'm not down on Rodgers the way some people are. I think he went for it with the Conference League, and, you know, I'm bummed out that it didn't work out for him. You know, I feel the same way with Moyes in the Europa League, right? Yeah. Like, it's just such a shame that
to Moyes' credit, West Ham have had a really great showing in the Premier League in the process.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they really, you know, they were in the Champions League spot for like the first, you know, half of the season. So
yeah,
wow, there's the.
Right up close.
Please come to take me away from my hot Rodgers take there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, I think that. I think we're staying away from Leicester. We're staying away from Burnley. Palace, we like Zaha. You could consider a defender. You know, there's no one like that I'm like hugely excited about having on their team, but they're kind of, it's a good enabler price. Certainly on a free hit, you could toss one on your bench.
I like Gehi. Sure. Though now he was subbed off early injury, so I think Joachim Andersen is like a safe pick. Yeah. He's an interesting center back in that he is able to play rangy passes out from the back that could result in an assist or get a set piece goal. You never know.
Klein has started the last 10. He's 4.3 million. So for me, you know, when I was looking at like how could I bring in Richarlison, it would be James to Klein and then Broya to Richarlison. That's how I could afford that move. So then I guess I would be starting Nathaniel Klein.
Could you do Matty Cash instead of Nathaniel Klein and still make that Richarlison
move? No, I have to go as low as that's the thing is I need to, like, I would need a 4.3, 4.4.
Gotcha. Okay.
He seemed like he kind of emerges as the best of the cheapies. I think, it's a shame, but I think that the Gallagher has just lost a little bit of that kind of whatever, you know, that incredible fire that made him such a incredibly fun player to watch this season. And he's a young guy. So, you know, I think he'll be
just fine.
Yeah. I really hope he goes to Chelsea. Cause I think they really need somebody like him. I think that he'll be, you know, I mean, you put him together with Mount and I think it could be a lot of
You're
fun.
You're one lion short of three right there. Yeah, get Declan Rice in the middle and oh boy.
Whoa. Oh boy. But I don't think there's really anybody else on Palace to consider. We talked Everton, midfielders. I just think it's a total stay away. Right. I mean, I know that you talked about Gordon a little bit and sure, cause he's so cheap, but Damari Gray, I'm not feeling it enough.
No, I think I like how Lampard is settled on his recent system involving Fabian Delph because they're actually like controlling the ball a little bit better. I don't think there's anybody there.
Yeah, I know. So in some ways, I actually feel like in some ways as we go through this, the question of whether to free hit in 37 or 38 really does turn into a genuine question. And I think that when you look at So let's say you free hit in 38, right? And one of the reasons to free hit is to have players that aren't on your current squad, right? Like, so you want to be in a position where you are doubled and tripled up on some teams that you don't already have. So, you know, I mean, like, let's see what we've got in 38. You've got a Man City have Villa at home. I think that'd be a great match to have three Man City players. Maybe even try to get three, like on a free hit, I'd probably try to get three attacking players and really go for it, you know, and just see it. I mean, maybe Cancelo and two attackers, right? Mm-hmm. You have Spurs play away to Norwich. Terrific match. Be great to have three. I want to talk about Kane in just a second here, but let me put a pen... pencil in there for a second. You know, you have Arsenal hosting Everton at home. I guess that's kind of a tricky match, although Brentford hosting Leeds, I think that could be a fun one. I think having Eriksen and Tony, I think those are both kind of fun players you could have on a free hit. Mm-hmm. And obviously Burnley hosting Newcastle, Brennan, that's a 10-0 win for Burnley, right? So no, I'm kidding, but there are some like, and then you have Chelsea hosting Watford, and that's like a match where you could maybe, you know, someone like Mason Mount, again, you wouldn't want to burn a transfer on these people, but a free hit, maybe they're a little more appealing.
These people, I love it.
Well, yeah, because again, like you're looking on a free hit, especially if you're going to do it in 38, it's the gambler's free hit, right? Yeah. So you look at all these teams, right, up and down, and you think, who could I bring in that could get 18 points this week? Who could get a Riyad Mahrez, you know? And that's what you want to do is get 11 of those guys in your starting lineup, if possible. And so I think that, Liverpool play Wolves at home, and then that Wolves team is, you know, it's packed.
Out to lunch.
Yeah, out to lunch. So, so I think that they're, in some ways, it's a hard question to answer because it depends on what your team looks like.
I agree. It is context dependent because I think you made the same case for 38 as I did for 37. In either of those weeks, which week has one or two teams that you want to triple up on but can't because you're not on free hit. And then that's where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you feel like you can, you're looking pretty good for 37 and you've still got the free hit. I can't believe how many people still have it, by the way. Mine's been gone. I think both of us, like, we like used both and, you know, ages ago.
It's, couldn't wait to use them.
That's another thing we can reevaluate is chip usage in the offseason, Brandon. We should be writing this stuff down. You know, but there's a lot of
We're recording it, you know.
I think next season I'm using my second wild card in 35 and all my final two chips in 36, 37, 38.
For sure.
Played them all too early this year. All right. Well, that's pretty much it, Brandon. I mean, we're right in the middle of things. And I think
you wanted to talk about Harry Kane, though, Josh. I feel like you teased this. All podcast, big Kane talk. It's like,
I feel like there are pods when I spend the entire time teasing a conversation that we never actually have. That must happen constantly. Well, my feeling is what I said last week, I still hold to be true, which is that Kane is a potentially hugely explosive fantasy asset. Let's see what he does in North London Derby. He's looked, I think, really good the entire second half of the season, even when the attacking returns aren't there. And it has just come to pass that he has been initiating play a lot more recently. And then it's kind of like what often happens when things are going well for him, fantasy-wise, is that he initiates play, ball gets kind of kicked around for a minute or two, you know, and then he scores, right? And then it comes back around to him. Uh-huh. And it's just what has been happening, though, is like it's been like initiate play, one-touch goal. You know what I mean? It's been like him, he passed it to somebody, that person crosses it, goal, you know? And like, it's just been like so lethal, like some of these goals they've scored recently. And it's like, does that make Harry Kane a bad fantasy asset? Like,
yes,
I guess so. I mean, I guess it does. Yeah. I mean, based on the results, but I mean, like, it's just a weird thing. Like, I mean, you can't drop him before the Burnley match, in my opinion.
I have Kane. I'm not getting rid of him basically because I'm not playing for anything at this point. If there were stakes for my fantasy season and I had Kane and not Son, I would remedy that ASAP.
Okay. Well, I would try to get both. I would try to get both for the final two. I mean, it's Burnley at home without center backs and then it's Norwich away.
Then you're talking about dumping Salah, are you not?
I have been, you know, very pro Salah. In some ways, Salah to me is almost easier to drop than Kane, just based on the fixtures, which I know is I don't know.
And I think that's a good place to be. I don't think you're wrong at all. As if you're that hypothetical manager I just suggested who has stakes, they don't have Son, but they have Kane. I think you are definitely looking at dropping Son, dropping Salah for Son.
There's an interesting question about whether Diaz is so good that somehow that has made an impact on Mo Salah's like attacking returns or something like that. Like, like they have so many incredible players who can score. You know what I mean? It's like there's just a wealth of them. And it's a little bit like the Man City problem suddenly, you know, where it's like, it used to be a little like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just, there's just something about, you know, your Diaz and Jota. And, you know, they're not quite like Firmino is always so perfect, you know, in this way, because he's the most unselfish dude around. Right. Yeah. It's just like Firmino doesn't, you know, he'll happily pass it in any, he could be have like an open goal and he'll pass it to somebody next to him.
He won't even look,
you know? Yeah, exactly. He won't even look. He's just, I absolutely love Firmino and I hope that he gets a great send off whenever he goes. But, you know, I just feel like it's kind of, now the situation is that there are so many people who are good that maybe Salah, it just feels like he's playing a little further out wide, you know, and it's like he's throwing the ball into the mixer a little more. I don't know. It just feels like he's not quite in the box as much as he has been in the first half of the season.
There are, you could compare him to Kane in a way where these teams just aren't getting pens anymore. Therefore, Kane and Salah's FPL points definitely take a hit because of that. So that's a big problem.
So we're thinking Salah out for both of us, right? Salah out on a minus 12.
Well, no. This is like theory based, right?
No, of course.
I don't know. I think I'm just gonna. I'm just gonna coast to the end of the season.
You got to think about the situation. I mean, if you're you know, leading your mini league, then you're not drafting Salah. If you are chasing, then maybe that's an option you just have to consider. At some point, with only a couple of weeks left, you have to decide whether you're willing to take a gigantic risk. And, you know, and it kind of depends. I mean, like, if you're in a money league and it pays out the top three spots, then that is going to affect your decision a little bit. But if it's, you know, if it's like a winner take all, or like the, you know, first prize is just way more than any other spot, then you know, maybe go for it.
It's a good week to decide because, you know, there was logic in the fantasy argument of a player at Salah's price. If you are not captaining him, then you're losing a lot of value there. And as we're talking about that Burnley fixture for Spurs in 37, very captainable. You bring in Son and captain him over Salah, who you basically, you're just getting two more fixtures of from him. Then the odds of you getting totally skinned by Salah in 37 and 38 seem much more reduced.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because then Spurs have Norwich in game week 38 too. So, you
know. That Southampton match is good, though. I mean, I know we're kind of going around in circles right now, but it depends. Answer is such a boring way to end this conversation, but I do think it really just depends. Like, for me, I think that I am stable enough. I mean, I've, you know, if I finish like 25K overall, it's just like, it's good. Like, I'm a little too far back in most of my other leagues where even if I made a crazy move, it just wouldn't necessarily, I wouldn't make up those 40 points, you know? And so it's kind of like, let me just cruise my way into 25K. Like, that's a great place to finish. You know, it's, you know,
we'll
yeah, exactly. We'll get him. There's always next year, you know? It's like, it's a sad, you know, answer, but it's kind of where my head is right now. So,
yeah. That's really all right. I think that's, I think we've given all the sides of the argument there and hopefully a way that makes sense to our listeners. So there it is. We're prepped. We've got a lot more game week 36 matches to go. But if you're a Patreon supporter of Always Cheating, we'll talk to you Thursday night as we get ready for that deadline. And if you want to know more about what it is to be a Patreon supporter and say thanks for what Josh and I do each week, go to patreon.com/always cheating, where you get that ad-free podcast each Thursday night, access to extra leagues in our Slack chat forum, as we like to do every week. Josh, can you thank our Patreon producers?
Yes, I will. And I haven't done this in a while, Brandon. Mike DiPietro, Trevor, you should kick it to you, Brandon. Just the way the way
tricky.
It works
I'm
out.
Tricky this week.
Yeah. Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell. Chris Howell, I was texting with him. I wasn't texting with him, Brandon. It'd be cool if I don't have his phone number, but I was
Come on, Chris,
I was tweeting with him out this week. Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Farberg, Skogang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markoff, at FPL Merch, Gary Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Yuong, Bruce, I know Mikey was having a tough week, so Mikey, hope you've rebounded. Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Swinney, George Kinney, Shiv Majoria, Rom Frosk, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazarus Yunos, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Kyle Varabi, Todd Byerly, Albert Paxoy, Martin Opseth, Lee Hickman, Velger, Paulson Kruger, Jazz Benning, Francis Mann. Jazz, we haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're doing well. Managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, FPL Pessimist, and our newest Patreon producer, Bob Fox.
All right, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media. Find our website, alwayscheating.com. Any final thoughts, words, questions, Josh?
No, except good luck to everybody the rest of this week. I mean, it's a lot can happen. I think that's why maybe you and I are feeling kind of a little loose and cheerful, because it's like we effectively have an entire game week to go this game week. So
yeah, there's not that deadline stress that we're sort of dancing that's around true. Like we often do. Yeah. So what's the one thing? I mean, the obvious thing you want to happen this week is for Salah to haul because you're on triple cap.
Sure.
Anything else would really make your day?
Yeah. I mean, I guess like who is my lowest ownership player? I guess that's, well, I mean, let's see if James or Alonso play. That would be nice. Probably. I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, I, you know, my team, it feels very template right now. It might actually be Kulusevski, or maybe even Sun. Sun's ownership is still crazy low in the top 100K. And Katia got up to like 50% EO in the top 100K, which was crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know when that happened. Like, it was all overnight. I'll go with Kulusevski. It'd be fun if he got like a hat trick or something.
I want bonus points for Ollie Watkins. I don't want to say how many goals, but I want bonus points. That's what I want.
He did nick one, didn't he? Did he nick a bonus? I think when they conceded a goal late, I think he snagged a bonus point.
Yeah. Ultimately, it did not come through. John McGinn got that bonus point.
Oh, really? Oh, he lost it. I did not realize that. Yeah. Wow, the late loss. It's always with the strikers, right? The strikers are always the ones who lose the
because they're just not doing enough.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the pod. Good luck the rest of this week, and we'll talk to you next week.